The ever-present Osmond Brothers, never far from the top 10, find a Donny Osmond edition at number 3. Hard work and good harmony have to be billed as their keys to success. Since their first big single, One Bad Apple, the Osmonds have been coming on strong. Donny reflects on one of the Osmond inspirations.
Well, our religion is our way of life. It was because of our religion, our beliefs, and our parents that we got started in show business, because the church believes that you should have 1 week set aside for the family to get together and have a meeting. And we put on programs and got up in front of the family and sang. And from this, it sort of branched out, getting into harmonies, two-part, four-part, finally to five-part harmonies, and branched out from there.
Donny goes on to talk about when he's 16 and how his million-selling 73 hit, The 12th of Never, came about.
Well, my hobbies are electronics. I built myself a bedroom that is all electric. I mean, everything in there is electrical, engineered. I mean, I push buttons, everything happens. I mean, it's like a James Bond room. My bed comes down from out of the ceiling, and I got an elevator that lifts me up to my bed. It's that's what I do for enjoyment and relaxation. And girls. when I turn 16, I'll be able to date. The 12th of Never was a really nice song to record. I don't know why, the feeling of the song was fabulous.
You ask how much I need you. Must I explain? I need you, oh my darling, like roses need rain. You ask how long I love you, I'll tell you true, until the 12th of never, I'll still be loving you. Hold me close, never let me go.
Because NBC was already committed for its fall shows before we started the summer show. But there's a very strong chance we may go on the air again in February as a mid-season replacement. And of course, if anybody wants to write a letter to NBC, that's marvelous.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? He was a-meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky.
She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. All the folks round Brownsville say she's crazy, 'cause she walks downtown with her suitcase in her hand, looking for a mysterious man. it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the
Ready. One of the hottest names in the music business rides the crest of her top 100 hit, Delta Dawn, all the way to the second slot for the year.
Well, I recorded Uptown before the Crystals, and we realized after we cut it that it was a girl song.
The nation's number one song for 1973 is from the man who back in the early 60s as a solo artist had his own hit records, Halfway to Paradise and his biggest, Bless You.
Oh, darling, bless you. Bless every breath that you take, oh, bless every move that you make so perfectly, and bless your little heart for loving me.
You were an artist, you, when you went to Detroit, you always worked this place. It was called 20 Grand. It's a big, gigantic ballroom next to a bowling alley, next to a motel, next to a club. And it is primarily a black audience. There are 2,000 people there, and they're all black. And here I was, a white singer, coming into this place with Halfway to Paradise with a disc jockey by the name of, are you ready? Frantic Ernie Durham. His name is Frantic Ernie. Okay, in the old days, you know, he was a Jocko type of, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Jocko, but it was Who Papa Do and How Do You Do, and playing things on the record machine, that kind of. And the Supremes were the group that he had every Friday night that would, if you wanted background singers on the show, he would supply them to you. I mean, that was Diana Ross, you know.
His original hits, having been written, produced, and arranged by Carole King, gave him ample early exposure to some of the top talents in the business.
I used to be the house demo singer. In other words, the way I got involved with Carole King and Jerry Goffin and all those people was that I was able, in the studio, to copy singers for them. And they said, let's do, we wrote a song that we think is good for Benny King. I would go in and do a Benny King kind of sound. And that still holds true with demo singers, by the way. So therefore, most of the Carole King hits that came, even though I didn't record them, I did the demonstration records on them. The only ones that I did that I recorded was Some Kind of Wonderful, Take a Care of My Baby, and Uptown. We love tomorrow.
As general manager of a major music publishing company, he has signed and worked closely with the likes of James Taylor, Laura Nero, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears before coming together with his female duo, two of the best backup singers around, Joyce Vincent and Thelma Hopkins.
Both Thelma and Joyce, by the way, have worked separately and not only together, but together they worked most of the Holland Dozier records, the Band of Gold. Who's Sleeping in My Bed,
100 Proofs,
100 Proofs Records,
all the Chairman of the Board, Free to Pain,
all the Holland
Eighth Day, those groups, Eloise Laws,
Frigid Pink,
Johnny Taylor,
Dionne Warwick,
Dave Porter, let's see, Edwin Starr.
So when they express who they
Four
work
tops.
With, you gotta understand that sometimes they work separately. So those that you just mentioned.
A lot of things at Motown. There's a group there, the Andantes, and they needed a sub-singer, somebody to fill in. And they did a session down at Golden World, and I did it with them, and after that they would call me. And I was like 16 then, I was going down, I was really excited, you know. And my first big session down there was for the Four Tops, Reach Out, I'll Be There. Scared stiff. It was great.
She has been involved with some sessions that I would have liked to have just gone to get the coffee for. Just to be present. I mean, like, heard it through the grapevine, Marvin Gaye. I would like to have been there just to be there, you know. Or Shaft by Isaac Hayes.
Altogether, the group that has notched the coveted number one spot for 1973 is Tony Orlando and Don with the year's biggest hit, Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
On the lyric of the Tie a Yellow Ribbon, it's alleged to be true. But if it isn't, it's such a cute story and such a warm one that we all just say it is.
I'm coming home, I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know just what to do.
Assassination, you had the Beatles. After the Korean War, you had Presley. After World War II, you had Sinatra. Before that, Rudy Valley and Bing Crosby, and it goes on. And in that time period, I think the catastrophe there, of course, was the Depression. So, after, like you say, I agree with you, David, that after all said and done, people look for that uplift in music, you know. I think that the reason that you see a fragmentation in music now is because nobody is really being very creative. I don't think anybody is really developing anything new or original as the Beatles did, or as Presley did, or as the big bands did. See, when people find that vacuum, that lack of creativity, they go back to the basics because it's always safe. I don't think we've seen the change yet, only because fragmentation is safe and so is society right now. Our society, at least, safe in terms of what we have experienced in the last 10 years. I don't think the Vietnam War, although it was the biggest catastrophe the United States in terms of a war had ever experienced, not a hero came out of it, not one. On the day of where the war was supposed to be over, there was not one jubilant Times Square riggedy-tackety party going on. so that I don't think that that's the, they don't consider that a catastrophe now in the light of Watergate, who knows.
The Top 100 of 1973 is another in a series of documentaries by Chum Toronto based on the contemporary music scene. The Top 100 is the product of an analysis of Chum Toronto's weekly pop singles chart, the Chum 30. This tabulation includes all records which reached their highest chart positions in the top 10 during the calendar year 1973. Each time a given entry appeared among the top 30 records of the week, it was awarded a number of points based on its position on that chart. The total number of points accumulated by the weekly chart position attained by the record in any week or weeks. The sum of these two factors constituted that raw point total of that record. Additionally, each record was also assigned a weight factor based on the number of weeks it spent in the top 10. In some instances, the relative position in the top 100 has been altered in the interest of program flow and dynamic pacing. Where Canadian records are concerned, the preceding criteria and methodology does not necessarily apply. The Top 100 of 1973 was produced and directed by Warren Cosford, written and researched by Irene Paragel and Tom Brownlee. The audio production was done by Bob McMillan, with special technical assistance from Zeke Stebiak. Music coordination and artist interviews by Dave Charles and Nancy Hunt. Special thanks to the Record Companies of Canada for their assistance in assembling the information and interviews used in the program. The Top 100 of 1973 was produced in the studios of Chum Toronto and made available to radio stations across Canada through the Canadian Association of Broadcasters. This is Terry Steele.